Hello, everybody, and welcome to DeathRowProbs.com, comic book podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today, it is brought to you by Jinx. Shirts for gamers and stuff. Click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site for Jinx and go buy some awesome clothing. That's Jinx. Yes. While we don't have as stuff as awesome as Jinx, we do have our own stuff. So go to DeathRowProbs.com/store and pick something out, such as the hot-selling Because Japan t-shirt, in that we have sold one. Or two. Yeah, and we are still accepting shirt design ideas, so please, if you have a shirt design idea that you think we would like, then post it in the Desto Prods t-shirt design thread on the forums, or send it to bobiwan@destoprods.com. If you like it, we'll make it into a shirt, and we will pay you based on how well that shirt sells. Priority will be given to shirts based off Death Store stuff, but if you have something that you just think is cool, send it our way. We're also doing Extra Life again this year, so please join the team and help us raise money, or just donate something. We're trying to raise $1,000 to help out Children's Miracle Network hospitals, and every penny you donate is given directly to those hospitals, and all proceeds given are tax deductible. So there's that. So yeah, deathstoreprods.com/extralife, that's all one word, and donate please. I'm your host, Deadman. Joining me today, we have Bobiwan.
Hello.
So, we're going to talk about some comics. So, yeah, Bobby, what have you been reading?
All right, I've been on a bit of a spider thing.
I bet you have.
I guess it's probably spurred by, and we'll get into this on the movies podcast, I saw The Amazing Spider-Man. But, so I've read two more issues of The Scarlet Spider.
Okay, how's I've been liking it.
It's good. Issue 6 was a little bit weird.
Okay, remind me of that one. It's been a while since I've read it.
Kraven the Hunter's daughter shows up.
Right, yes, her. Fuck. Yeah, Kraven in the Marvel Universe right now, I think, is like a zombie or something.
Yeah, Kane mentioned something about killing Kraven.
Yeah, Kraven was dead, but then his family brought him back to life to hunt the spider with a Y. Who was just Spider-Man in the black suit. And yeah, it was a whole weird thing. And he still hasn't died yet. Like, at one point, like, he started hunting the Hulk because he was crazy.
Aw. And, yeah, so, like, it did this whole leading up to a big story arc thing, and then the next issue, nothing to do with Kraven whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Kane has sex and stuff.
Yeah. That all happens.
Yeah, but it is a good series in general. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice counterpoint to the Spider-Man stuff, because, you know, you kind of get, like, the same spider powers and shit, but with a much more fuck you attitude behind them.
Yeah, and I gotta say, though, there's this one great part in issue 6 where it's showing all these news reports, just little snippets in voice bubbles from it, about Scarlet Spider, and one's like, according to eyewitnesses, he kept yelling that he wasn't Spider-Man.
Yeah, that did happen. I remember that.
And for all his not wanting to be Spider-Man, he's slightly turning more like Spider-Man every issue.
Yeah, you know, yeah, kind of. Like he's
starting to crack jokes and shit.
Yeah, he's starting to maim people less. Because I remember, like, the first couple times he went out, he, like, fucking broke dude's bones, just like, oh, run away, snap.
Yeah. Of course, then, of course, he will still sometimes go into his dark monologue mode.
Yeah.
In that mode, people get hurt.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be Spider-Man, he wants to be Batman.
I mean, that pretty much seems about right.
Yeah, I mean, he has the Nightwing. He has, like, the Nightwing color design in the suit, and Nightwing was Batman for a while. Think about
this
it.
This is true.
Tying everything together. So, yeah.
So, yeah, that's Scarlet Spider. It's still good. Something I've read quite a bit more of, up to issue 96 of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ah, yes. Before you get into death.
Well, I believe in the next issue, I start into the Clone Saga.
Oh, goody! You get the Clone Saga!
Yeah, starts off with Scorpion.
Yep.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, the Clone Saga... From what I understand of the... I have never actually read the original Clone Saga, because, you know, I don't have 20 years to read that many comics. It's like, that shit does span, like, decades. But, like, the Ultimate Clone Saga was handled a lot better, because it was just 6 issues.
So a nice short Clone Saga.
Yes, it's still kind of retarded.
But I guess the fact that the original Clone Saga spanned so much is the reason why there's still so much fallout from it in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, still a lot. Like, the Jackal showed up again recently. But the one thing that I really don't like about the Ultimate Clone Saga, aside from it being a Clone Saga, I'm not going to spoil anything, end of it, there's this one panel that is, like, there's something that happens in it that is just, oh god, and there's, like, a panel in it that shows something that is just, that's kind of foreboding. And then they never do anything with it again. It's like, oh hey, this could be a thing. No, it won't. Like, maybe now they have the new Spider-Man, it could come back, because that's kind of... I could see it actually happening that way, but as of now, it's just kind of, hey, here's a foreboding thing, and nothing else.
Yeah, it kind of sucks when that happens.
Yeah, it really sucks. It could have been really cool. Like, have you been able to see all the shit with, like, Harry Osborn and him turning into the Hobgoblin?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, only worse, but better. Like, worse for the character, better for the story. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, back to the issues I did read. So I finished up the Deadpool arc.
Oh.
Which, you know, I was glad to be done, because Ultimate Deadpool sucks.
Yeah, he is not funny.
And he's like a cyborg man.
Yeah, it's...
It's not Deadpool.
No, it fucking isn't.
That's less Deadpool than the X-Men Origins Wolverine Deadpool.
Yeah, the one at the
ending. I've pissed a lot of people off with that one.
The one at the ending. Though the beginning was actually pretty good.
Which, what?
Like, when he was actually talking. Like, when he was just Ryan Reynolds with swords.
Oh, yeah. That Deadpool was pretty good.
Yeah. But then they took away his mouth.
Yeah. So, yeah. I would say Ultimate Deadpool falls somewhere below Ryan Reynolds before they fuck him up. But somewhere above the fucked up Deadpool in that movie.
So he's middle ground of Deadpools. Of terrible Deadpools.
Yeah, of the terrible Deadpools. He's kind of in the middle ground.
Okay.
Yeah, so end of that arc was kind of hilarious, you know. Peter's finally gonna tell Aunt May he's Spider-Man. Kitty Pryde goes with him. Because, you know, there's no way I can excuse this one, but he doesn't need an excuse. Why? Because Aunt May is out getting laid.
Yep. Yeah, I really like Ultimate Aunt May.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, especially, like, just wait until you get into new Spider-Man stuff. It gets better. Especially, like, Spider-Men, all that shit that's happening, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting.
Yes. Like, so far, all we've seen from that is, like, I can't really get into it without spoiling some stuff that happens near the episode, like, end of Spider-Man, like, all, like, Ultimate Fallout stuff. So, should I just not talk about it, or...
Go ahead. I have a poor memory, and I've got quite a few issues before I get there.
Okay, so after all the badness that happens with, like, Ultimate Spider-Man, like, Death of Spider-Man stuff, Aunt May and Gwen moved to Paris because Tony Stark bought them a house. Because, yeah, like, Tony Stark is kind of... In a lot of the continuities, he's kind of, like, Spider-Man's surrogate dad.
Okay.
Yeah, like in the actual like Ultimate comic, like in the actual like Amazing Spider-Man stuff, like Civil War and everything, he was actually like Spider-Man was Iron Man's like protege, like Peter Parker was. And they were just like taking care of him a lot, and same with Aunt May and stuff. So then in Ultimate, it's the same kind of thing, but since he is drunk all the time, he's much better. But so yeah, he bought Aunt May, and so he like set up a house in Paris, bought Aunt May and Gwen tickets to Paris, and then sent them off to live away from all this, so they just kind of help them deal with Spider-Man, help them deal with Peter's death. But then, while they're there, they see news articles like, hey, new Spider-Man in New York. Gwen, we're going back to America. They go back, buy a house, and so Spider-Man in that universe, he finds out that he's actually dead. Like, Peter in there at the universe. Peter goes out to the universe, finds out he's dead.
Right.
Then goes to his old house in Queens, finds Aunt May there, but he's there in costume. So Aunt May just thinks it's some guy dressed up like Spider-Man standing on her front lawn.
Instead of actually Peter Parker.
Yeah, so she's like crying. She's just like, Gwen's about to like run out like fucking punch him because, you know, Gwen's awesome. She'll just fucking pull a knife on the dude. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, he just takes off his mask, reveals he's actually Peter Parker, and there's like, oh, what the dick? They just cannot believe what's happening, and I can't wait for issue 4. When are we getting issue 4, Marvel?
Yeah, come on, Marvel.
Motherfuckers.
It's like, By the time I start reading Spider-Man, issue 4 better be out.
By the time you start reading Spider-Man, it'll probably be done.
You've got a good 3 to 4 months to get this shit out.
Yeah, for all I know, Spider-Man 4 is coming out the day we post this. So none of this means anything. I was like, motherfuckers, bring out Spider-Man 4! And the day we post this, oh hey, I'm reading Spider-Man 4. So yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the short, I can't remember if it's even one or two issues, I think it's just one, Morbius. So vampires and shit.
Oh yeah, the vampire thing with Blade.
You know what was really disappointing? The Blade part in that.
Yeah, he showed up, said, get in my way again, I'll kill you, then leave.
Yeah, I expected there to be a good, you know, it's like Morbius, you know, there's going to be lots of vampire shit. I expected a good, you know, 2 to 4 issue vampire arc, maybe with a Blade team up, because that would kick so much ass.
But no, I think it actually did just go 2 issues.
Sorry?
Like the actual arc they had. It was just Morbius for 2 issues.
Okay, it was 2 issues?
Yeah, I remember that, because it was like, yeah, it was like first issue, they had like Ben Urich tracking down all the shit with vampires and everything, and then Spider-Man like gets the dude staked, and then second issue, Ben gets bitten, and then all that happens, and then end. Moving on.
Yeah.
Cause Ben Urich got bit by vampire.
I kind of wish, I wish there was more Blade there.
Yeah, I wish there was Ben Urich as a fucking vampire. You just imagine, like, he, like, turns into just a half-vampire like Blade, so he's like, vampire powers as a reporter.
Ben Urich, Daywalker.
Yeah, you just, like, see him, he's, like, his fingers just dug into the side of a building, it's like, excuse me, Mr. Fisk, can you give me a statement about your recent criminal activities? Just hanging out the window.
He doesn't even Vampire Slayer do anything superhero with it. He just keeps being a reporter.
Yes. Only much better. Like, like everyone, like he's trying to get an interview with somebody. It's like, sorry, going to have an interview. Just snaps every single security guard's neck in the entire building, then walks into his office. So, Mr. Fisk, tell me. He would do it. He would chase down that fucking story.
Yes. Yes, he would.
Okay, back on topic.
Yeah, the lack of Blade thing was disappointing, but it was interesting to find out that Spider-Man can't become a vampire.
Yeah, because of tainted blood.
Too bad for you, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Man, what if you mixed Spider-Man with a vampire? You'd have Spider-Vampire-Man. What would the sunlight reaction be? Would it happen? What powers would stay? What powers would go?
He'd probably still have his like spider sense.
I must. This calls for fan fiction.
Yeah, but I'm wondering about the transformation thing that happens, because, you know, vampires and that thing, they show them turning into mist and a wolf and bats. So would he also have a spider transformation?
He can turn into, like, a swarm of spiders or a giant spider or...
Yeah. Think about it.
That would kick many levels of ass.
Yeah, so... Diz, which is synonymous with the Desktop Prods community. Well, actually, Diz and Dave. You know who you are, Dave. Just fucking... Just put all this shit together. Write us something. Or Bovi, you do it. I don't care.
I'm going to be working my way through some fanfics. Maybe I'll get around to that.
Okay. So, anything else?
No, that's actually it.
Okay, so... On to me. So, Bobby, you have picked three things for me to talk about. Which one do you want me to start with?
Let's start right off the bat with Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Disappointing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a three-issue arc. So, like, one of the things that was, like, really great with, like, The Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe was that it was a one-issue. It was, like, a one-shot issue, so they were able to get things right off the bat. Just oh, hey, Frank, your family's dead. Boom. Everyone else is dead. This one, it starts out promising with Deadpool murdering the Fantastic Four. Pretty spectacularly, too. You actually see Reed slowly melt. It's actually really great, because you just see his face just, like, slowly sliding off of his skeleton.
That's pretty awesome.
In the arms of the Invisible Woman. See, all that's happening, and then... Then Invisible Woman goes and finds Deadpool slitting Johnny's throat. And then she explodes his head, because she can make force fields and shit, but then his head grows back, and he just fucking stabs her right through the back. And then it jumps back a bit in time. Like, the entire thing is being narrated by Uatu, the Watcher.
Right.
Yeah, so while all that's happening, it jumps back a bit in time to putting Deadpool in an insane asylum. That happens to be run by Psycho Man. You know, but he's like a mini dude who's trying to take over like the microverse. But then he didn't.
Right.
So yeah, what he wants to do is he wants to brainwash Deadpool into being his hitman, essentially. Just anyone Psycho Man points out as needing to die, Deadpool just goes out and kills them. But the plan backfires. Obviously, and Deadpool kills him, then decides to kill everyone else. But it really sucks, because, like, at the beginning, you actually have Deadpool talking to the two different boxes in his head. Like, there's one bit where he is... Like, there's one bit where he is talking... Like, the doctor's, like, talking to him, like, tell me about your childhood. And then one box says, like, please not, like, impoverished young man story again. It's like, oh, please try to come up with something originals. He's like, I was born a coal miner's daughter. I was never breastfed by my mother. In fact, none of the moms of the neighborhood really liked me. And that part was good. But then, from there, the boxes go away to be replaced by one box.
Oh.
Yeah, the box that is telling him to kill.
Oh.
Yeah. But there is one... There are a couple of good moments, like I said, with the Fantastic Four stuff, and with him just kind of being glib and Deadpool-y. And there's actually one really great bit where he meets Uatu, and they actually just comes up like, who are you talking to? They just points toward the reader. And he spoke with that, and then Deadpool directly talks to us as he says, I'm going to kill everyone. So, it's not without its charm, it's just kind of disappointing that Deadpool just doesn't decide to do this. It's like, oh hey, we're brainwashed. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of feel like with Deadpool, you don't need a reason for him to kill the Marvel Universe. You just say, I feel like killing everyone today.
And it didn't need to be a good reason. He's like walking down the street, into Chimichanga, and then all of a sudden, like, a superhero just comes out of nowhere and knocks it out of his hand. It's like, motherfucker! Then goes on a killing spree. Boom, done. And it doesn't even stay in continuity, either. Like, in this one, Deadpool still has his healing factor. It's fucking stupid.
I didn't know he had lost that.
Yeah, he lost it. He now looks like a guy. He now actually looks like a person instead of just a bag of meat. He's actually quite good looking. He also lost two fingers. while fighting the Trapster, which Deadpool will never let himself live down. It's like, I can't believe we got our ass kicked by the Trapster. But yeah, it... not without its charm, but a bit disappointing. So yeah.
I still think with Deadpool, he should have just broken through the fourth wall and started killing the writers. That would have been a much better comic.
Yeah, it just goes out, just fucking cuts off Joe Quesada's head. But yeah, so I'm hoping that the story gets better in the next two issues. But yeah, so moving on. What's your next pick for me?
My next pick, let's go with Red Lanterns 12.
Yeah, so where did you leave off with Red Lanterns?
I think I've read, like, issue 2.
Ah, okay, so, a lot of stuff happened. We now have a human Red Lantern. His name is Ragnar.
Awesome.
Yeah, the corpse of Krona, the guardian who was responsible for the death of, Atrocitus' entire sector, his corpse is gone. His corpse disappeared. But it turns out it was taken by Abysmus, Atrocitus' son, who he created to be, like, one of the first Red Lanterns, but he just wasn't angry enough. So then what happened was Abysmus infected the Red Lanterns. Like, he poisoned their central power battery, so the Red Lantern just started dying off. And, like, the issues had just been... And also, he's also, like, given intelligence to a lot of the Red Lanterns. Like, most Red Lanterns, aside from who aren't Atrocitus, are just, like, snarling rage beasts. But then if he throws them into, like, there's, like, a big, like, lake of boiling blood on the planet, so if he throws them in there, then, like they'll regain their minds. He does that to his entire core. And that's kind of split... And then the core's kind of split down the middle, with half of them wanting to follow Atrocitus, another half wanting to follow Bleez, the girl who's from New Guardians.
Yeah, I knew about that, because I knew that freaking Bleez was starting to gain more intelligence and start to sort of have ideas of pulling a coup.
It's just kind of grown from there. Like, she's got her own kind of faction, and every single Red Lantern now is pretty much intelligent. But yeah, so all that's happening, and yeah, recently it was just kind of Atrocitus fighting Abysmus. All that was happening, and then there was also on, like, the Star Sapphire planet. It was Fatality, who was the Star Sapphire from New Guardians, trying to convince Bleez to give up her life as a Red Lantern to become a Star Sapphire. Guess how well that turned out?
I don't see Bleez doing that.
Nope. It's been pretty good. Like, I've been liking Red Lanterns. I will be glad when they move on from this arc. Like now that they're done it, I will be glad to see what happens next. Like, now that we have Rancor, I think his name, Ragnar or Rancor or something, we have him now join the ranks, and he was, like, one of the... I'm pretty sure he was the only Red Lantern, aside from Atrocitus, who, when he turned, stayed, like, somewhat sentient. It wasn't just... But yeah, so we have now him rolling around with Atrocitus. Atrocitus still has his cat.
I love that cat.
Yeah, the cat was actually what helped them win. Yeah, so, spoiler alert, I guess, for Red Lanterns 12. So yeah, while they're fighting, they're fighting, and then Dexter, jumps up, starts attacking Abysmus. Abysmus just, like, throws him away, and then Atrocitus gets really pissed off, reaches inside him, and rips out the Red Lantern at his core. Like he was actually built on a Red Lantern, I think. And then he just uses that to heal the entire core and, like, save everyone. And now the Red Lanterns are just essentially going around and just giving out vengeance to every single person who they think deserves it.
Right.
Yeah, they have decided to just embrace... They thought the Atrocitus believed that, like, the rage they had wasn't pure enough, so they just latched onto pure, uncontrollable rage, and they're now just going out doling vengeance everywhere they can find it. And I'm actually really excited to see what happens with that. I could be remembering this entirely wrong, but I don't give a shit. What I'm saying sounds cool to me. So I am excited for it. It's gonna be cool as fuck. So yeah, actually, just let me give a quick little rundown. And yes, I am right. Here it is, Cat, and rips Red Lantern out of him. And yes, I realize how thrilling this must be for our listeners.
Yeah, I'm reading the comic. Yeah, I'm reading it. Yeah. This is the problem with when you read so much shit, is that you don't remember any of it.
Yeah. Oh, and we also... So, while the Red Lanterns were... So, out a bit, Red Lanterns were, like, up, standing on the planet, saying, hey, we are going to be fucking just... We're just going to be going around, fucking people up. It's going to be awesome. But then, while they're all doing that, they're, like, spilling out, like, the lava blood from them. That's seeping into the planet, and it's revealed underneath that there are these horrible, weird monstrosity things just living beneath the planet. So, those are going to be cool. But yeah, so all that happened, and is good. And I'm actually really looking forward to issue 0. It's going to be coming out next month, I think. Yeah, next month. It's going to be revealing the origin of Atrocitus. Like, actually exploring how he founded, like, how he created the Red Lanterns.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. So, moving on to the final thing you chose.
Infected 1.
Yes, so Infected. It is alright, I guess. It's a bit weird. So the entire series is about this new viral infected going around that's causing people to go insane.
Like, so a totally original story.
Yeah, completely original. It's like the one time we actually saw it like taking full effect on somebody, the guy killed his family, then cut off both his legs with an axe, then was about to set himself on fire.
Well, at least he's thorough about it.
Yeah, at least he's thorough. So yeah, while all that was happening, there was also a side story showing the infection like starting out. So there's a guy who just hanging out, showering, you know, doing normal stuff, but then there was like a little microscopic thing digging its way into his skin, and you see like the initial signs of infection are just a little rash. There's a tiny little concentrated rash, which is where the weird little organism lives and it gestates inside your body. And he's kind of just hanging out with that, and you just see him slowly start losing grip on things. Like, you see him just kind of, like, going off the handle a bit too much. Like, the bit that shows him, like, kind of going a bit more crazy is, so he's at a bar with a friend of his, watching the game, and he just, like, starts getting up and screaming at the TV a lot more. I was like, whoa. But he's like, whoa, dude, you need to, like, slow down a bit. How many have you to drink? He's like, one. And he also starts, like, getting a bit really, really angry with his friend, so it's possible, like, that is just going to be turning into something horrible. But yeah, it's alright, I guess. It's just, yeah. It's just, we've seen this before.
Yeah, it's not exactly anything new.
No, it's not. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, we've seen dozens of things that aren't exactly new material, but have still been really great.
Yeah, like, zombies weren't new, but The Walking Dead is amazing.
Yeah. And the upcoming movie, which we'll be talking about on Friday, Cockneys versus Zombies, looks pretty cool. But yeah, Infected isn't... I'll probably read the second issue of Infected. Like, it wasn't... Didn't turn me off the thing, it just didn't exactly give you like, oh man, I can't wait for the next issue. It's more like, yeah, I'll pick it up, see where this goes. But yeah. So, that does it for what you picked. Now, on for mine. So I have 4 picks, because there are 3 things that I want to talk about in all of them. So the first is Animal Man and Swamp Thing 12. This is the prologue to Rot World. So in the recent issues of Animal Man and Swamp Thing, they started crossing over a lot more. Because, see, in the DC Universe, there are kind of 3 main spiritual forces dealing with everything. The red, which deals with all living, like, animal things, including people. The green, which deals with all plants and stuff. And the rot, which deals with everything dead. And usually those three things stay in balance. Unfortunately, the rot is starting to take over. It's starting to gain more power and stuff. And so the Swamp Thing and Animal Man, who are the avatars of the green and the red, respectively, have to go and stop him. And it is really good. It's really great seeing these two characters together. Like, they're two very weird characters. Like, Animal Man is really weird because, you know, he just kind of... When I started reading it, he was just kind of like a super dude. It's like, oh, hey, I am just going to go... Like, hey, I can channel animal powers, and I'm going to go fight stuff. And it was... But then it just turned into, oh, wait, you're like actually the avatar of this ancient fucking wisdom thing that's controlled over by a bunch of giant fucking animal spirits, and then you have to protect your daughter, which is actually like the next... Which is actually the next totem in the entire fucking cycle, and she'll be taking over the world one day or something. I don't fucking know. She can control dead animals, kind of, and then... And then, oh, you have Swamp Thing, who was just a dude who died and then was brought back to life. And, oh, wait, he's actually banging the daughter who was the avatar of the fucking Rot, who was abused by her uncle, who's now reclaimed the title as the avatar of the Rot. And they're both going into the Rot world, only, oh, wait, it was a trap. And then they go down there and, oh, God, it is so weird. But I fucking love it. It is amazing. And I really can't wait for Rot world. It's going to be really fucking awesome, and I can't wait. It's going to be amazing, and I'm going to love it. And Animal Man's actually gotten a bit more badass. So one of the things that he's done is he's gotten new powers. So at one point, he actually died, and they went to the Red. And while he was there, the Rot took over his body. So then when he got there, they built him a new body, which also had limited shapeshifting capabilities. So before, whenever he activated his animal power, he'd just be a dude, like regular dude. But he also had the speed of a cheetah or the strength of a gorilla or something. Now when he activates his powers, he actually kind of takes on some characteristics from those animals. So like if he gets the strength of a gorilla, his arms and upper body turn into that of a gorilla. Well, actually, it's kind of. It keeps his like look, but gets into the shape of a gorilla.
Right.
So he looks completely human. He just has gorilla arms and a gorilla chest.
Okay.
You know, like if he gets claws and shit, his hand just turns like this giant fucking knife thing, kind of looks like Lady Deathstrike from Marvel. But he just starts flashing it up. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be fucking dope. But yeah. So moving on. So I guess, what do you want to hear about first, AVX or Before Watchmen?
Let's save AVX for last and hear about Before Watchmen.
Yeah, so I read Night Owl issue 2. Night Owl is still probably the best thing happening with Before Watchmen right now. So the second issue, Night Owl and Rorschach have been teamed up for a while, and we kind of see Rorschach being crazy. Like, I'm still not entirely sure if this is pre or post Little Girl. But, so there's one bit where they're fighting a dude and they actually like punch him through a door, which leads to like some weird like S&M dungeon. So then they go in there, they grab the guy, but then Rorschach comes in, he just starts screaming slut and whore and trying to attack the dominatrix that's like has some guy tied up while she's smacking him in the ass. Because like he has some serious issues with whores.
Yeah.
See, that's actually really cool that they put that in there. I do like that. And then we also see a bit more of like Rorschach's home life when he is not Rorschach, which consists of him sitting down, grimacing at TV, and eating uncooked baked beans.
Yeah, like how much can we really see of Rorschach's home life?
Yeah, like that's all he did. He just came, you know, like after he and Night Owl had that fight because you know he wanted to beat the fuck out of the hooker, and Night Owl was like, no. See, he goes home, starts watching TV, and it comes on a Brock commercial, like, it lifts and separates. It's a flashback to when he was a kid and him being beaten up by someone who was by one of his mom's clients. And he just sits there grimacing, eating uncooked beans. And we also see a bit more of Night Owl as a kid and how he actually came to, like, really... And how he came to be the new Night Owl. Like, him just... How do I say this? We're shown a bit more of how he latched onto Night Owl as a hero figure. So there's one bit where he's seeing his mom get beat up because that happens. And then he starts like talking and he gets beat up at school too, and he starts talking to his mom. It's like, how do you keep good from getting beat up and stuff? It's like, well, you just gotta pretend it doesn't hurt. And so he's like walking home one day, he sees Night Owl. He's like, oh man, he's like, he never gets hurt. So he grabs like a Night Owl mask, goes to a school, starts getting beat up again. It just doesn't stop. It just keeps coming at him, even though he's like broken everything, blood spurting out of everything. And it's really good. I'm really liking Night Owl. I've also completely given up on reading the pirate stories at the end. Because I'm not reading any more Comedian or Ozymandias. So, fuck all that. But yeah, Night Owl 2. Night Owl is still continuing to be one of the best things from before Watchmen. The other one being Silk Spectre. Those two are really, really good.
Because they're actually telling you some information you didn't already know, and it's not goddamn stupid.
Yeah. And it's not continuity breaking either. Like, fucking, the Comedian killed Kennedy, okay? I don't give a fuck what any of you say, the Comedian killed Kennedy.
Totally.
So yeah, then I guess let's wrap things up with AVX-9. So yeah, the Avengers are hanging out in the mythical city of Kung Fu. Because, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where they escaped to. It's like, the mythical, like the city of Kung Fu, like the city of Kun Lung, I think it's called, which is where Kung Fu was born, is like another plane of existence, so the Phoenix 5, or I guess the Phoenix 4 now, can't exactly get to it. But yeah, so it's just Hope training to be like Kung Fu stuff. Is like, oh, come on, I'm ready now. But Spider-Man, being, you know, Spider-Man, is saying, hey, you're not ready yet. And actually quoting, well, kind of quoting, Karate Kid. It's like, be patient, Daniel-san. Wax off, like, wash the car, paint the fence, don't let Johnny sweep the lake, and God help us all. Yeah, and so a big chunk of the issue is just about the guys, like the Avengers, getting back their lost teammates, because every time they go into battle, they end up losing somebody. And where they lose them to is a little piece of hell that Magic brought up and put the volcano. Yep. That's X-Men prison. Well, I guess Avenger prison, but whatever. So yeah, we have all that, and then we also see one of the Phoenix Four, Emma Frost, start losing control.
Oh, like, how surprising. When you're using the Phoenix Force, you might lose control.
Yes, and what a surprise that Emma is one of the first to go. Yeah, so there's one actually really brutal scene where she's decided that anyone who's done anything wrong in their life gets to die. And so what she's doing is she's like reads someone's mind, and then she starts reading off his crimes to him, and then while she's doing this, we just see like images of this guy with blood pouring out of his eyes. Because Emma was telepathying him to death. Like, and then it pulls back to show where he is. He is in the middle of dinner with his wife and two kids.
Oh.
So she just jumps in and say, hey, you killed some people, zaps his brain to death, and then as she's leaving, she says, no one has any more secrets, not from me.
Yeah, the problem with that is everyone's done something wrong in their lives.
Yeah, I'm thinking she's more of, like, just murder and, like, bad stuff. Like, real, real bad stuff.
Ah.
Like, but for all I know, it's like, hey, you jaywalked once, zap. Like, hey, you littered, zap. It's like, well, oh, I can, it's like, oh, you once maybe thought about running a red light, zap.
I can guess that she's kind of like Kira. Like, that's how she starts off, but eventually it'll just be like, you disagree with me, dead.
Yeah, of course, it's already starting to get like that, like, there's one bit where in Wolverine versus Wolverine and the X-Men, where Colossus asks Kitty on a date to the sea, where he actually splits the sea in half and then starts grabbing fish from it and cooking it up. But then she says, I'm not going to join you. I'm good here. And he says, all right, I'm going to destroy the school and kill everyone in it. And then he was barely able to hold himself back before he just left.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so with AVX-9, like, I'm doing a lot of spoilers here, but okay, so I'm not going to spoil any of this, but it actually is a good little callback to something that happened earlier, and it's probably going to have one of the bigger effects on Hope. Because it is... Spider-Man is... If you've seen the cover of the issue, you know something bad's happened to Spider-Man. And it's pretty bad. Excuse me. But yeah. AVX9, AVX is really good. I am really looking forward to issue 10. Or I guess round 10, as they call it. But yeah. So that's what we've been reading. Yes. So, on to news.
Yay for news!
Yep, so we've got three pieces of news here today. So, starting off, Steve Niles, the writer of 30 Days of Night and Criminal Macabre, and Wes Craven, the director of Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream, are teaming up to make a new comic book.
This could be legitimately interesting.
Yeah, so it's called Coming of Rage, and it was created, and while the series was created by Craven, it's going to be written by Niles. So that's good. I really like Steve Niles' writing. And so we don't know anything really about characters or plot or anything, but judging by the image that was released with it, it's about a vampire, a zombie, a werewolf, and a guy. Yep. Because the images we have released are like someone holding up two fingers. The fingers are like have really sharp nails on them and are bleeding. Like has blood dripping down one of them. Another one is a really hairy hand with really sharp claws holding up three fingers. One of them is a hand that's like detached from something that has like a finger that's all fucked up. The other one's just a hand. So, werewolf, vampire, zombie, guy.
Sounds like quite the team.
Yep. And so, with the series, the series is going to be running for 5 issues. And it's going to be launching in 2013. It's going to be published by Liquid Comics. And it's going to be the first thing from the publication partnership that was started between Liquid Comics, Craven, and the producer of Live Free or Die Hard, Arnold Rifkin. So Liquid wants to put out some digital things for the iPhone and iPad to complement the release of the series. But that's not all. Craven, Rifkin, and the CEO of Liquid Comics, Sharad Devarajan, are currently developing a movie based off this series. You know, it's kind of a ballsy move to start producing a movie based on a series that you don't know if anyone likes.
Yeah, it is kind of assuming things.
Yep. But yeah, so I'm actually looking forward to that series. Like I said, I really like Steve Niles, and while Craven's most recent work has been he has made a lot of stuff that I've loved. But yeah. So, moving on. Paul Dini, a veteran Batman writer who wrote the Batman animated series, Batman Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham City, and actually created the character of Harley Quinn, will not be returning for Rocksteady's third Arkham game.
Oh.
Yeah, so, Dini tweeted in, a couple days ago, last week, kind of hoped I'd be doing another Arkham game in London during the Olympics. Especially as I had a good source of TX. I'm not sure what TX is. Ah, well. So yeah. After that, a bunch of people started asking questions about the next game. And so he did respond to some of them, but he eventually just wrote up a thing on his live journal. Because he still has a live journal. And yeah, I posted an excerpt of it with a link to the actual thing on the site. And you can read that if you're interested, because I'm not going to read it out here. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so Paul Dini's not writing the next Batman game, which is a shame.
Yeah, I mean, the first one I know was really well written. I've heard that the second one is even better.
Yeah, they're really good. Like you've heard me gush on the ending of Arkham City.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... final piece of news. Marvel has released a bunch of teaser images for their new Marvel Now series. These are teaser images for the new creative teams that are going to be taking over taking over the different series. So, for Iron Man, we have Kieran Gillen and Greg Land. For Thor, we have Jason Aaron and Asad Ribic. For Hulk, we have Mark Waid and Lenel Yu. For Captain America, we have Rick Remender and John Romita Jr. For Fantastic Four, we have Matt Fraction and Mark Bagley. For FF, or whatever the fuck, or something, I don't know, we have Matt Fraction and Mike Allred. For X-Men Legacy, we got C. Spurrier and Tan Eng Huat. And then for Deadpool, we have Brian Posehn, Gary Dugan, and Tony Moore. So Brian Posehn and Gary Dugan, I'm pretty sure they're like actors and comedians. Like not actually comic book writers of any kind. So, yeah. That's going to be... I really like Daniel Way. Okay, he is the guy who's currently writing Deadpool, and he's awesome. He's writing it for 4 years for a reason. But yeah. You got something to say?
Sorry, not really.
Okay. Yeah. So that all that's happening, and I know Tony Moore. I've seen his artwork, and I'm pretty sure I like it.
I guess I will say that it's always a gamble when you switch your creative teams.
Yeah. The team they have now is working absolutely fine. It's amazing, actually. It's fucking fantastic. And I love it, and it's gonna really suck that they're changing it. Like, I don't read any others, like, for all the other series, I don't actually read them. Like, I don't read Iron Man. I do read Hulk, and I like Mark Waid. He could do a good job. But, like, I don't read Thor, I don't read Iron Man, I don't read Captain America, I don't read any Fantastic Four bullshit. I don't read X-Men Legacy. The only one on this list I'm actually have an opinion about is Deadpool. And yeah, it's gonna be a thing, alright. But yeah. So all that's news. Oh, and it seems that Tony Moore did a bunch of the art for the Venom series. Like the most recent one. Oh, he also did art for, oh, yeah, he was the one who did, I think, the original art for Walking Dead.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that art. But, yeah. So. Because I'm going to do it for this week. Because I got nothing else to talk about. Okay. So. As always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow us at Desidor Prods. I am at Deadman or Spaghetti Prods. And we have at Bovian. We're on iTunes. Please subscribe to us and leave us a review. Let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. So on Friday, we'll be having the movies podcast as well as our commentary for the Muppets. Then on Sunday at allgames.com, 5 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live. Then next Tuesday, we're going to be having the games podcast, and on Thursday, we're going to be having the anime podcast and the Anime Club supplement. So yeah, until all that though, I'm the Deadman.
I'm Obi-Wan.
See you guys next time.